There's nothing neutral. Everyone's either like, yeah, I'm going awesome, or I'm going terrible because of COVID. So, come on, how are you guys going? Oh, that was better. I'm happy to hear that. Well, I'm going well. I'm excited to be here with you guys. I'm one of the new pastors at church, so if you haven't met me, hello. I'm Dale, and I'm actually really excited to be hooking into the Word with you guys tonight. Steve has left me with a topic to talk about. Normally at church here, we kind of cruise our way through the Bible bit by bit, chunk by chunk. But these school holidays, we're going to look at the topic of service, which is going to be awesome. And I get the topic of why you are a minister. Why you are a minister. Now, my job, the Savo, is to help us see why we're all actually ministers. Now, I don't know what you think of when I say the word minister. I don't know if you think of someone wearing like long flowing robes and that kind of thing. Or if you think of the Prime Minister, good old ScoMo. How good is that picture, by the way? Like, what Prime Minister in the world has that get up? I love it. What does the word minister even actually mean? I remember one time I was playing footy with a mate. Well, it wasn't while I was playing footy, but we were just having a chat, and he said, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a minister. And he looked at me like I was from another planet. Not because he was against me being a minister, he just had no idea what on earth a minister is or would do. And so what does the word minister even mean? I'm here to tell you guys that you're a minister. What on earth does that even mean? Well, we normally think, when we hear minister, of someone kind of in authority, in a church, in government, whatever it happens to be. And yeah, that's normally correct. But the word minister, it just simply means servant. Servant. A minister's job is to serve people. So the prime minister, he's meant to be the best servant in Australia. The prime minister, the number one servant. And he does work hard. We don't tend to equate politicians in Australia with being servants, I don't think, so much. But that's what the word means. And what we're going to see the Savo is that the Bible actually says that all Christians are ministers. It's who we've become. There's this amazing thing that happens when you first start following Jesus. There's actually a whole range of different things that happen that just change. You become something new. First of all, you become a place where the living God lives. He lives inside of us. You become an adopted child of God. You become someone who is going to reign on the earth forever. That all sounds pretty good. You become a servant. You become a minister. That's what happens when you start following Jesus. It's not just pastors who are ministers. So I think the word minister is actually a really unfortunate term that we've given to pastors around the place. No, it's all of us who follow Jesus. And so if you're someone here tonight who follows Jesus, congratulations, you're a minister. How good is that? All right. Topic covered. We can go home. No, of course not. That would be terrible because there's way too much goodness in all of this to let you miss out on it. We're gonna dig into this. And as we dig into it, there's actually a few things that we're going to see that is awesome about being a servant. First of all, we're actually going to see that we're not just servants, although we are, but we're actually slaves. And now I say that with a smile on my face because I want to show you how that is actually a really good thing that we get to be slaves. We're going to see how Jesus being a servant is actually part of his very nature. And we're going to think about then what it means for us to be servants. So that's where we're heading. And I'm hoping that by the end of this, you're going to go home more stoked than you ever thought you could be at the thought of being a slave. Yeah. You like that, Duncan? I'm looking at you. I'm excited to see you go home stoked about being a slave. It's good. Because this is actually a really good news story. And if you're someone here who's not yet a follower of Jesus, I'm hoping to persuade you that becoming a slave of Jesus is actually the best thing you could ever do. Because you're going to hear how incredible Jesus is and why following him is so incredibly worth it. I don't think there's much more of a countercultural message in this day and age than putting other people ahead of yourself. And how that could be a good thing, even the best thing for us. So I'm going to pray because we've got lots to cover. and we're going to dig into the Bible together. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you have spoken to us just now. Thank you that you will keep speaking to us as we keep looking at your word. And Father, I ask that you would open our hearts and minds to see how good of it, a good of a thing it can be to be your slave, to be servants. I ask that you would change us tonight. I ask that none of us would go home the same people we were when we arrived, but we might be transformed to be people who serve you. Amen. All right, well, let's start with what the Bible says about being slaves. And it comes in that context that we read where the disciples have been having a bit of a, woo, let's get in with Jesus in his kingdom. They're like, come on, Jesus, how can we get in? James and John, not to mention any names, they've been trying to get themselves in the best position in Jesus' kingdom. They want to be on top, but Jesus tells them that that's not how it works in his kingdom. He's like, no, this isn't how we roll. He actually says, when you follow him, you put everyone else ahead of yourself. Look down at Mark 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Now, when you look at the rulers of other nations and those kinds of things, it's not hard to see Jesus' words coming true, is it? How many leaders lord it over others? You think of China, Zimbabwe, I could say a lot of countries here, but even democracies. The rulers wanting to be in charge. Just think of Trump. Or all the backstabbing that's gone on in Australian politics over the last decade. People want to be in control and they want to lord it over others. But the kingdom of God is different, Jesus says. He says those who really get it, the great ones in the kingdom, they put others ahead of themselves. They are slaves of all. Now, did you hear that? If you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to be a slave of all. Now, we don't like the thought of being slaves. I don't like the thought of being slaves, generally speaking. Slavery that we know is terrible. You think of the African slave trade. It's horrible. Or even in the Bible, the Israelites being enslaved to the Egyptians. Terrible. Modern day sex slavery. It's disgusting. Our own slavery to sin. It's the worst. Slavery is a terrible thing when we think about it. So why would Jesus suggest that we ought to be slaves? Didn't he die to bring us freedom? Why would he talk about us being slaves? It's a really good question. The Bible is full of comments about Christians being slaves. So it's something that we've got to deal with. For example, Paul talks about himself or other Christians as being slaves of God or others in at least 10 out of 13 of the letters that he wrote. And that's most of the New Testament. The Bible's clear. If you're a Christian, you're a slave of God. You're a slave of Christ. And that is a great thing. Really? You see, humans weren't made to be completely independent, to be completely autonomous. That's not the way that we were created. God made us in a way that means we're always going to be a slave of someone or something. And we can either be a slave of a good master who brings life or a bad master who brings death. Some examples of bad masters, that's not hard to think of them. Sin, that's a terrible master, where we are just driven by our sinful desires. Fear, controlled by the fear of death, sickness, other things. Money, ruled by our insatiable desire for more. We could be enslaved to people's approval, to addictions, to vengeance, to hate, to regret. There's a whole range of things that could be our master, and they are terrible. Some examples of good masters: God. Yep, that's it. God, he is the only example of a good master. Jesus, he is the one good master. That's it. Now, when we think about our freedom, it's not a freedom from any master. It's a freedom from a bad master to a good master. I want you to imagine a train. It's a progressive little train, woke even, right? And this little progressive train is going, it's like, I'm not really happy with this slavery that I've got. Look at these tracks in front of me. They're just always in front of me. I got to stick to them. Can't go anywhere else. Where's my freedom? I want freedom, this little train says, if trains could talk. And the train, it wants its freedom. And so it decides one day, you know what? I'm getting my freedom. And it jumps off the tracks. It's like, I can go wherever I want. Now the question is that train really free? I mean, it can go wherever it wants. That sounds like freedom. But a train off the tracks isn't free at all. Instead, it's a train that won't get you to where it's supposed to, because it can't. It's a broken train. It'll hit a rock. It'll hit, I don't know, mud and get bogged. It'll run into a log and tip over. Run into anything and tip over. Run into a pebble and that'll knock it over. A train that's on the tracks is where it's meant to be. The tracks are actually a really good master for the train. They are its master, but they're a good master. They direct it where to go. They enable the train to actually work. They keep him upright. The train is a slave to the tracks, and that is a really good thing. Now, it's the same for us as humans. We are truly free, not when we have no master at all, but when we're under a good master. And the only good master is Jesus. Serving him gives life. Serving him is to be truly free. Serving the king you were made for is the best place you could ever be. It's so good, in fact, that the Bible is super clear and says, do not serve anyone or anything else. It says, don't have any other master. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, do not become slaves of men. He's just super clear, don't do it. Because you're a slave of God. Any other master will have you way worse off. It'll lead to your destruction, to you tipping over like that poor little train. Be a slave of God only. Being a slave, that isn't a negative thing. Not when the master is God. If you follow Jesus, did you know that you get to be his slave? And that is the best thing for you? It's great. But you might have noticed in our passage that Jesus didn't say, if you want to be first, be a slave of God. No, look at there in verse 44, look down, because the words here really matter, the words everywhere in the Bible really matters. Verse 44, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Slave of everyone. Now, that's quite different to being a slave of God, because God is a good master, everyone else isn't. There is not. So what's going on here? Paul says, don't be a slave of men. Don't be slaves to men. And now here Jesus is saying, be slaves of everyone. What do we make of this? Now this is an exciting moment for us, because anytime you get something in the Bible that seems like a contradiction, it's a great opportunity for growth, for going deep, for getting new understanding, because there's no such thing as a contradiction in the Bible. Just opportunities to get to know God better. And that's what we're about to do. But to work out how these two things fit together, don't be a slave of men and be a slave of every man, woman, everyone, we need to look at the next verse, verse 45, because we'll see what kind of king Jesus is, and that'll help us understand how we can be a slave of no one and everyone, or just one person, and or everyone at the same time. So let's look down at verse 45. And Jesus says, he is a servant. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man. Now that's one of Jesus' favorite nicknames for himself. It comes from the Old Testament, and it talks about a king, the great king of the entire world. The Son of Man will rule everything and everyone forever. God raises up this man to be the great ruler. And Jesus is like, yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the king. But what kind of king does Jesus say he is? Well, he says he's a servant. Yeah. I'm the Son of Man. I'm that great king. But the great king, the Son of Man, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. As the king of everything, Jesus has every single person ever as his servant. He would never need to do a thing. He could just have everyone do it for him. Hand him grapes, lemon lime bitters, have a little sip. Let me get a palm frond fan for you. Foot massage. Like, he wouldn't have to do a thing. But Jesus says, no, that's not the kind of king I am. He says he didn't come to be served, but to serve. He came to serve other people. He came to serve everyone. Now, this is crazy, right? And we should feel that this is crazy. Because Jesus, he's not just the king. He is. But he is God the Son. He is God and king. There is no obligation that he should ever serve anyone at any time. He's got no obligation to do that. But that's why he came. To be a servant. Why on earth would our God and King do such a thing? Why would he put others ahead of himself? Why would he serve us? Well, he did it because that's who he is. God is selfless. He loves putting other people ahead of himself. And because Jesus is God, he loves putting others ahead of himself too. Over in Philippians chapter 2, you can write it down and chase it up later. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6, it says that Jesus is in very nature God. And being in very nature God, he did something. He did something because he's in God's nature. Because he's in the very form of God. And what is it that he did because he's in the very form of God? Well, he made himself nothing. Took on the form of a servant. He didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, something to be grasped. No. He emptied himself. Because he is God, he came and served. That's the heart of God. It's his very nature. He's not just this awesome king who's so good that he's like, oh yeah, what's up? Oh yeah, I'll serve as well. No. He's like, oh, what can I do? I just want to serve. I'm going to make people that I can serve. He didn't even have to make us. But he made us so he could serve us. To put other people ahead of himself. Such is his love and humility. I can't imagine Donald Trump giving up everything or even anything to save someone else. I can't even imagine Scott Morrison giving up everything to save someone else. Jesus is the true prime minister, the number one servant. And verse 45 there tells us the greatest act of service that he does. It says that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't just serve us by making us a cup of tea to warm us up on a cool evening. He didn't just open up doors for us or even work really, really hard so that we could have a better life. When I think of people who are great servants, I think of single mums who are working multiple jobs to give their kids this life that they want for them. They are wonderful servants. But Jesus goes beyond even that. He gives his life as a ransom. We were enslaved to sin. We'd given ourselves over and we couldn't get out. We were stuck there. And the ransom price for sin was death. Not just dying at the end of our life, but eternal death. Spiritual death. Condemnation. Cut off from the life-giving goodness of the God who wants to give us life. We were trapped and sin held us at gunpoint, as it were, and said, you're not getting away. Death is the only price. But then Jesus comes in. You know what he was doing? He was soaking in the glory of heaven, just living it up as he could, as he should. Just absolutely loving it. But he stepped down out of that into our filthy world. He left that behind and he came to die. He came to be cut off from that life-giving goodness of his Father that he'd enjoyed forever. And he came to suffer the deepest agony of death and the death of millions of people on his shoulders. Your death. My death. He came down from heaven and paid our ransom. That is why he came, to serve us. He is the king of the universe, the slave of no one, and yet he willingly, voluntarily made himself our servants. He served us to the point of dying to free us from the ransom price of sin and death that we had willingly brought upon ourselves by rejecting him. Man, what a heart our king has. That is a master that I would enslave myself to any day of the week. There is freedom in being a slave when your master is like that guy. When your king is like Jesus. When your God is humble, gentle, servant-hearted, putting me ahead of himself at great cost. Man, what a shame that we can't all sing right now, because this is the kind of thing that when we hear it, we just bubble up with joy and it just comes out in song form. belt it out on the way home. Whatever Christian song you can get, just sing it loud. I'm stoked that we can still be sung to, right? It's awesome. And we should follow the COVID restrictions. That's why we're not singing all together. But man, this is awesome stuff. If you don't know this king personally, if you haven't started following him, you are missing out. Because it means that you're enslaved to a much worse master. There is no master who compares to Jesus. The whole reason he came, the whole kind of king that he is one who came to give you freedom, to give you life. Do not miss out on the best thing ever, the very thing that you were created for. Bow the knee to Jesus today. Become his servant, and you know what? You will be more free than you ever have or ever could be. And now we're actually getting to a place, having thought about this incredible king that we have, we're getting to a place where we can answer that question about how we can be a slave of no one other than God and a slave of everyone. Do you remember that little question that we had hanging there? Paul said, serve no one but Jesus, and Jesus said, serve everyone. How do we hold these two things together? When you become a slave of a master like Jesus, he wants you to become like him. He wants you to have a servant heart just like he does. And actually, because he's awesome, if we become more like him, how much better is that going to be for everyone? And who wouldn't want to be like him? He's amazing. So while we have just one master, Jesus, like him, we make ourselves slaves of all. We serve everyone. They're not our true master, but we serve them anyway. Just like our king did. He served our evil, sinful world to free us from our slavery to sin. We serve our world too, to point them to Jesus, where they can find freedom from slavery to sin. We serve our brothers and sisters here at church. We serve our families and housemates at home. We serve the world around us. We serve the world abroad. People who serve Jesus serve everyone. That's why we're a minister. But remember, when Jesus served the world, he did it at a great cost to himself. And so should we. When we serve Jesus and serve others, we can do it in small ways. You can imagine looking after a workmate who's clearly just having a hard day. You got a lot of work to do, but you could serve them. We go out of our way to help someone at uni or school who needs a hand for whatever reason. We follow the COVID restrictions, even if it seems like Port has been COVID-free for a long time. We serve. All these things reflect the heart of our King. And we do it in big, costly ways, just like Jesus. We do crazy things like put our friendships, our real friendships, on the line as we tell our friends, our family, about Jesus, the one who can free them from their slavery. I don't think my friends want to be told that they're slaves. But I want their freedom, and so I'll tell them if I'm serving Jesus. It's the kind of thing that I might do. We might do things like giving away our money, even if we're in a period of life where we're trying to save our money and build it for the future. We might give it away even then to help our compassion kids out in Seranga, or giving it away to help the cause of the gospel here in Port, or to help build our mission campus for people to find freedom in Jesus. We might do things like managing our work and study so that we've got more time and energy to tell kids in schools or at church about Jesus, or to have time to get our admin skills cracking so that church is able to be more effective and reach more people, or to have more time to help people in our point groups and care for them. And that's a big call, to give up time that we could be studying or working. But it's the kind of thing that a Jesus heart might do. A Jesus heart might do something like uprooting itself and moving to Albania to tell people about Jesus. That's a big call. We are ministers, servants, slaves. We want to think really carefully about how we set up our lives so that the whole week, the whole year, our whole lives are geared towards serving Jesus and serving everyone. This is something to sit down and actually come up with a plan about. Jesus' service, it was costly. How about ours? How do you go as a minister? If you're someone who works in a job, you're to serve customers. You're to serve colleagues. You're to serve bosses. You're to serve everyone. If you're in school or at uni, your job is to serve your teachers, serve your classmates, serve everyone. If you've retired, how much of your now freed up time are you giving to service? It's who we are, remember. As you think about your career, what are going to be the key things that help you make decisions about what to do now? Like the decisions that you're making now, what's going to inform them? Is it about how much money you can make? Is it about how high up the corporate ladder you can climb? Is it about how much influence you might be able to have? Or is it about how much of your life that you can give to service? It'll impact the way you study, the way you work, the kind of job you get, how much ministry you do at church. Will your career define your life, or will service of God and others define your life? If someone took a look at your study or your work and your plans ahead, would they think that you are God's slave? Would they think you're a servant of all? Or would they think that you are self-serving along with the rest of the world? Man, that is a positive message at the moment, isn't it, that our world gives? Look after yourself. Look after number one first. What the Bible says is deeply countercultural. It doesn't say don't look after yourself. But Jesus says, you're not number one. Put him and others ahead of yourselves. It's not a popular message in our day and age. But it is what the great ones in Jesus' kingdom do. And he's the king of everything, so I'm going to listen to him on this one over the rest of the world. Put a time in your calendar this week to actually sit down and think, how am I going to live a serving life? To make decisions about on what your life is going to be. Because if you don't set aside time to actually do it, nothing will change. If you're anything like me, at least, nothing will change. We need to be looking at our hearts. Do we tend towards serving or self-serving? If you're anything like me, you're hearing all this knowing that you're way behind where you wish you were. I'm so often, why am I self-serving so much? And the good news is this isn't a guilt trip. When we get freed by Jesus, we get freed from guilt. So it's not something to feel guilty about. It's an opportunity to go, I can become more like Jesus again. How can I become more and more like him? Let's seek to have a heart like the heart of our King more and more. We don't simply serve because we're slaves. We are. But we get to follow the heart of our King. Isn't that a good motivation? Yes, we are slaves and we ought to serve. But we get to serve following after our King. If we're a Jesus church, which we are, we're a serving church. And that's not to miss out, because Jesus is incredible. Getting to be like him is such a good thing. Serving Jesus is where we live in freedom. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a minister. You are a servant of God, and therefore a servant of all. And it's there where you get to be fully free. Let's pray. Father God, you are amazing. Wow, that you would be the ruler of everything, and yet in the person of your Son, you would come and set everything aside and be our servants, even to the point of death on a cross. It's hard for us to imagine, as little as we are, that the King of the universe would serve us. Father, I ask that you would help us see how good of a thing it is getting to be his slaves. That we would give our lives in service of you and in service of others. I ask that you would make us more and more like Jesus. Pray that you would transform us to be like our King. Amen.